Now, my wife, Kim, and I are English by birth, you might have guessed, but we're Aussie by choice. We arrived here 14 years ago. The thing I love about arriving in a new place is discovering new things for the first time by getting surprised at the beauty of something or the experience of something. And I remember those 14 years ago flying in over Sydney Harbour Bridge, seeing the blue ocean for the first time, seeing the golden beaches for the first time, and thinking, wow. I think I was singing the theme tune to Home and Away as we flew in. Wasn't that right, Kim? I remember standing next to the Opera House for the first time and then going to Melbourne and drinking my first Melbourne coffee in a laneway for the first time and going, wow, this is incredible. And then discovering that Australia has a West Coast and that the West Coast takes Australia to a whole new amazing level. I loved flying into WA, being able to take our masks off. That didn't last long, did it? I loved hearing the screams of our kids as they saw Rockingham foreshore for the first time as they whipped off their bathers and went hurtling towards the ocean and dived into the ocean with just shouts of joy. It's amazing to see things for the first time. There's just such magic in that moment. But the thing about seeing new things for the first time is that the new things become old things. They become old things and they become familiar. Today we start a new sermon series in the letter to Ephesians. And I love Ephesians because it reminds us Christians that we are part of something beautiful. That we are part of God's plan for glory. Ephesians 1 verse 9 says that God has a plan to unite all things under Christ, things in heaven and things on earth, to the praise of his glory. And as being part of that plan, we are part of God's church. And that is beautiful. Charles Spurgeon said that the church is the most dearest place on earth. And I hope you know that. I hope you know what you're part of, that you are part of a beautiful plan that God has for the world and for the universe. And you are part of his church. And that is beautiful. The problem, as I said, is that new things, new beautiful things become familiar. Their beauty fades with time. You start to notice the faults and make comparisons. And things just get tired. I'm sure that our boys a year from now will be arguing over which beach is better, whether Waikiki Beach or Rockingham foreshore is the best. Maybe you're feeling a bit familiar with this beautiful thing that you are part of the church. Maybe you're feeling a bit tired of your Christian life, asking, what am I doing going to church when I could be eating brunch on a Sunday morning? Or maybe you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus and you're thinking, why on earth would someone go in for a Sunday morning Jesus hobby? Well, friends, it's my hope and prayer that through this letter of Ephesians, it's my prayer that God will strengthen us as he raises our eyes to the glorious privilege of our connection to Jesus and our union with Christ and our part in God's church and this wonderful plan for glory that he has. My prayer is that Jesus would shine brighter than anything in the world around us and that we would love Jesus more and more and know his love for us. Well, I've got three things to encourage us this morning if we've forgotten what we're part of and what we have in Christ. The first thing is this, that we are blessed. We are blessed. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Paul wants his readers to know that they are special, that they are blessed with a full set of blessings. And as he writes this letter, he's excited and he's pumped and he unpacks these blessings in this 14 verse. What is in the original Greek, a one long, one breath sentence. Now, I'm not going to try it, but let me read from verse 3. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely lavished on us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding he made known to us the mystery of his will. Then verse 13 says he's given us his spirit. Verse 14 says he's given us an inheritance. It's incredible, isn't it? You can just feel Paul's excitement. Just look at the verbs. He's chosen us, predestined us. He's freely given us. He's lavished on us. It's extraordinary. And look at the time frame. It goes from past, present, and to the future. Just incredible. I want to encourage you to take these verses home today and just meditate on them, read over them, and just see how special you are if you are in Christ. Our first visit to Rockingham Shopping Centre was an interesting one. We needed to go to Kmart to buy something cheap for the house. And as we went through the doors, we walked past a man with a big shopping trolley stacked to the brim of what looked like Christmas presents. And just as we walked past the man, a security guard put his hand on the man's shoulder, pulled him back and pulled the shopping trolley back to Kmart. The man had obviously not paid for these gifts and he was trying to walk out of the shopping centre without paying for them. And that's an image that stuck in my head. And as I was reflecting on this, I was thinking that believing the gospel of Jesus is like God has given us a shopping trolley full of blessing, a trolley filled to the brim with every spiritual blessing we could think of: holiness, adoption, redemption, forgiveness of sins, revelation and insight, his spirit in us. It's like the owner of the shop has not just given us a shopping trolley, he's given us the whole store and said, take it, take all of it. And that's what God has done for us in Jesus. He's given us a whole store full of blessing, and he pays the price for it with his son's own blood. He freely gives us every blessing to us in Christ. It's not that some Christians have some blessing and others have more blessing. We don't unlock or earn different types of blessing or have different levels of blessing. If you are in Jesus, you have every spiritual blessing. I'd love you to take some time to consider what Paul says about our blessing, these 14 verses. Take some time during the Lord's Supper, perhaps this afternoon, this week, and delight in what you have in Jesus. Perhaps read these verses every day or stop on a different blessing and savour each of them. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I'd love you to mull over what it is that is on offer in Jesus. You might want to consider what your heart needs today, what your soul needs. There's a bunch of Bible words in this passage, but they're easy concepts to understand. So redemption is a bit like if me, rather than being stunned at this man trying to steal a shopping trolley full of gifts, redemption is a bit like me taking out my credit card and saying, I will pay for that. I'll pay for the whole trolley for this man and giving it to him to walk away. Or adoption is a bit like the security guard running after the man with the shopping trolley and the owner of Kmart coming out and saying, it's okay, Roger, he is my son. He can take what he likes. See, that is the privilege of adoption. When we are in Christ, we have everything that belongs to God, every spiritual blessing. I love this quote. Adoption is the highest privilege that the gospel offers, higher even than justification. To be right with God, the judge, is a great thing, but to be loved and cared for by God the Father is greater. I really need to know that. I really need to know that I am God's adopted son, that he loves me no matter what I've done, no matter what my performance is, no matter how many times I've messed up. God loves me because I am his adopted son. We are blessed. Well, second thing to encourage us this morning is that we are blessed in Jesus. I wonder whether you notice just how much Jesus is mentioned in these 14 verses. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Where? In Christ. In fact, Paul mentions Jesus 15 times in 14 verses. You can see it as you read through it. In Christ, in him, through Christ, in the one he loves, under Christ, through his blood. John Stott describes these verses as a kaleidoscope, a snowball, an operatic overture, and the flight of an eagle. And they all describe the grandeur of the Christian's connection to Jesus and the blessing he brings. You see, at the heart of Christianity is a deep connection with Jesus. Christianity is not about religion, it's not about ritual, it's not about performance, and it's not about religious pedigree. It's about a relationship, a close, intimate relationship with the King of the universe. That's why we are called Christians, because we are in Christ. A friend of mine used to say that you take the Christ out of the Christian and you're left with Ian, and he can't do anything for you. And I wonder whether you noticed how this relationship comes about, how we get these blessings. Well, that's there in verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You see, if you have heard and believed the gospel, if you believed the good news that Jesus died for you, because of you and instead of you, that he lived the life that we couldn't live, that he died the death that we should have died, and he rose to bring us so that we can rise with him, then you are deeply connected to Jesus. Jesus, the first century carpenter and King of the universe. And what's more, we don't just know him like we know the woman down the street or the bloke at the IGA. When you believe the gospel of Jesus, Jesus comes and lives in you by his Spirit. So we're intimately connected, like a bride and groom are connected. The Bible says that when we're connected to Jesus, with that comes adoption, redemption, forgiveness of sins, every spiritual blessing. You see, the gospel is the way into Jesus, and Jesus is the way into these blessings. Now, Paul is writing to Christians in Ephesus. They're having a tricky time. They are getting pulled back into the religion of the city. Ephesus was this major port in what is now modern-day Turkey, and it was this kind of supermarket full of religious activity and religions of the day. At the center of Ephesus stood the temple to the goddess Artemis, which was big and impressive and visible and tangible. And there these Christians are, believing in an invisible God, a crucified Messiah. Their temple is nowhere to be seen. And the founder of their faith, the Apostle Paul, well, he is banged up in prison. And so their hearts are getting pulled back into the religion of Ephesus, pulled back to the temple of Artemis, pulled back into the sorcery of the city. And they've kind of taken this pick and mix view of religion, their hearts getting pulled back into the pagan religions of their city. One of the things that I thought we'd never see again when COVID hit was the Chinese buffet. They've actually got one opposite Coles in Rockingham. Incredible that it's still there. Now, I'm terrible at Chinese buffet. I get stressed with all the choice. Do I take the beef and the ginger and spring onions, or shall I have a bit of noodles, a bit of chicken, a bit of this, a bit of that? I just get stressed by it, and I always end up with the same thing. Egg fried rice, and can you guess what I put on the top? Yep, Sweden sour pork. I get paralyzed by choice. And life can be like that. Life was like that for the Ephesian Christians. It was a bit of a pick and mix of saviors of the city. And life can be like that for us. You see, we have so many saviors to choose from, so many saviors that promise so much. We live in a world with Medicare, luxury brands, iPhones that allow you to check into church, vaccines, lawn irrigators, and Mark McGowans. We live in a world with so many saviors, and we sail through life through a sea of saviors that pull on our hearts and compete for our affections and our worship. And it can leave us quite paralyzed. Yes, all of those things are good gifts from God. But the challenge for us as followers of Jesus is to just choose Jesus. Not take your plate and have a bit of this savior and a bit of that savior and a bit of Jesus to top it off, but to treasure Jesus exclusively as our God and our Saviour. I want to urge you today, if that resonates with you and you know that you have got a number of saviours in your life and you're just hedging your bets with Jesus, I want to urge you to commit to Jesus, to not spread your bets or have Jesus as one saviour in a collection of a whole different bunch of material saviours. Choose Jesus, believe him, trust him, know him, love him, treasure and delight in him. He will get you through tough times. He will get you through death. He will carry you as his bride over the threshold into a world, into his kingdom, into a world where there is no pain or suffering, where the pain that we feel and the suffering that we see with our eyes and feel in our hearts will be no more. He will be with us in the valleys. He will be with us on the mountains. So choose him and you will know much joy and satisfaction and purpose. We are blessed in Jesus. Well, third thing to encourage our hearts this morning, we are blessed through God's plan. The big frame of Ephesians, as I said at the start, is God's big plan for glory. It's there in verse 10 that says that God has a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. It's God's master plan for his glory, a plan to unite all things in heaven and on earth under Jesus. This is God's masterpiece, painted by his hand, to radiate his glory. We see that in verse 6. He says, to the praise of his glorious grace. And then verse 12 and verse 16, Paul says, it's there to the praise of his glory. In the same way that the Mona Lisa shows the artistry of Da Vinci, or the symphony radiates the genius of Mozart, so the plan of God displays the godness of God as God connects his people to Jesus, as he saves his people from sin, and as he adopts us as his children in Jesus. See, if you are in Jesus, you are part of this plan for glory. This is God's plan for God's glory. And you can have confidence that this is an unstoppable plan. See, when life goes pear-shaped or not according to our plans or where we're suffering, we can be assured that God's plans have not been derailed. Verse 11 and 12 of chapter 1. You see, God is the God who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. I wonder whether you knew that God works through all things, through every disaster, through every discouragement, through every letter from the doctor. God's plan is unstoppable because God's glory is unstoppable. It's a plan that spans past, present, and future. It's a plan in which God chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. It's a plan in which he predestined us to be adopted as his children, as part of his future cosmic fulfillment, where all things in heaven and on earth will see Jesus on his throne, either as his enemy or his children. Now, I'm conscious there will be people here who read the words chosen or predestined and do a little nervous twitch or do a roll of the eyes. Now, I don't think anyone finds these truths and doctrines easy. As a little aside, there are three things that I find helpful. And they might be helpful to you. Firstly, these concepts, these doctrines are in God's word, the Bible. And so God wants me to know that I am chosen before the creation of the world. He wants me to know that I am predestined. Secondly, there are cleverer people, people who are far cleverer than me, who haven't wrapped this stuff up nice and neatly. So I won't try. And that's okay. I'm happy to hold these tensions, to allow these tensions just to float about. And thirdly, and most importantly, the Bible only really talks about predestination to encourage struggling Christians. And so I can take great comfort that when my faith is wavering, or I've stuffed up yet again, or if disaster strikes, I can be encouraged that God chose me before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless, that he predestined me to be blameless, that his plan has not been derailed. I wonder whether you know this encouragement. I wonder whether you're encouraged that you are predestined to be holy and blameless. Do you delight in this? Do you remind yourself of this? See, if God's plan is cosmic and unstoppable, there really are only two responses to it. A friend of mine helped me see this week as we were reading this passage. You see, we can either get behind God's plan with everything that we have, or we can fight against it. I love how here at St. Nick's, we get behind God's plan. I love how we pray for God's work among us. I love how we give money to the mission of the mission of this church and the work of the gospel here and beyond our city. I love how we give our time and our talents to serving God's unstoppable plan so that more people would hear about Jesus. You see, when you get behind God's plan, you do ridiculous, crazy things like coming 4,500 kilometers to a town that you've never been to serve at a church that you've never visited. That's what happens when you get behind God's plan. Get behind God's plan, and it will bring you much joy, and it will bring God much glory. If you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, I wonder whether you'd consider what he's done for you. Consider what's on offer freely for you this morning. I want to encourage you to choose Jesus and take the blessing that's found in him and be part of this plan. Oh, if you are a Christian, I want to encourage you to get behind God's plan and get on the mission of what God is doing here in Rockingham. Get behind it by praying that the news of Jesus will go out from this place and infiltrate our city. Get behind it by serving Jesus with the time and the energy that he has given you, and that will be different for each of us. Get behind God's plan by investing in his mission with the money and the resources that he has given us. Get behind God's plan by sharing the extraordinary news, the gospel, with the people that God has put in your lives and on your daily path. You see, if we do that together, we will see extraordinary things and we will know extraordinary joy. We're going to say a confession in a moment and we're going to take the Lord's Supper. I want us to use that time to say sorry for the things we need to say sorry for to our Heavenly Father. And as we take the Lord's Supper, as we remind ourselves that what God has won for us with the blood of Jesus, let's commit to delighting and following Jesus in all that we do. Today might be the first time that you start following Jesus. If so, please come and see me afterwards. You can write a little message on the Connect form on the back of your sheets. And at the end of the service, I'm going to invite you to come and pray with me or pray with a couple of friends at the front. We are blessed. We are blessed in Jesus. We are blessed through God's plan. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise you that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. We praise you for this extraordinary passage. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to delight in it. Help us to mull it over, to chew it over, and to delight in what you've given to us in Jesus. If we are not Christians today, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see the wonder and the beauty of Jesus and what's on offer in him. And if we are, help us, Lord, to get behind your plan. Help us to get behind your unstoppable plan with the resources and the time and the gifts that you have given us. And we pray, Lord, that as we do that, we would know much joy and that we would bear much fruit. And we pray this to the praise of your glorious grace. In Jesus' name, amen.